Our scripture reading is taken from Matthew chapter 27, verses 11 through 26. Matthew 27, verses 11 through 26, and we will read these words together. Let's begin. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, "Are you the king of the Jews?" So Jesus said to him, "It is as you say." And while he was being accused by the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" But he answered him not one word, so that the governor marveled greatly. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to releasing to the multitude one prisoner whom they wished. And at that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew that they had handed him over because of envy. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, "Have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" They said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said to him, "Let him be crucified." Then the governor said, "Why, what evil has he done?" But they cried out all the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it." And all the people answered and said, "His blood be on us and our children." Then he released Barabbas to them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. May God bless his words to our hearts. The trial of Jesus. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, there have been people who were declared guilty in court, who were innocent of the crimes with which they were charged. Maybe evidence was made up by the police. Maybe the witnesses lied against the accused, or maybe the accused was guilty of other things in the past, so there is the presumption of guilt. Whatever the reason, innocent people have suffered. But you have to be hard-pressed to find a case where the accused was declared innocent of all charges and still punished with death. When Jesus appeared before Pilate, the judge, Pilate clearly asserted his innocence and tried to release him. But being pressured by Jesus' accusers, Pilate walked away from his attempts to release Jesus and instead killed him. And this is what you will hear about today. Our headings are three. Pilate asserted Jesus' innocence. Pilate attempted to release Jesus. And then Pilate abdicated his civil duty. Our goals are that you will see the true innocence of the Lamb of God who was slain for your sins, and that you will then with tears in your eyes embrace and love him more. You have to see that though, the innocence of the Lamb of God who was slain for your sins. Without the sacrifice, the tears mean nothing. So we start then with Pilate asserted Jesus' innocence. Pilate then began the process of examining the accused, Jesus Christ, in a legal criminal proceeding, after the high priest brought the charges against him. This is important because it was the job of the chief priest to bring the sacrifice to the altar and to examine it to make sure that it was perfect, that it had no injury, that it was not a spotted animal, that there was not a wrinkle about that sacrifice. So it's kind of interesting that you see not simply the trial, but to see the sacrifice being brought and being examined to make sure that it was fit to die for the sins of the people. Except in this case, it was the Lord. Pilate then began the trial. And one of the questions he asked Jesus was whether he was the King of the Jews, because that was one of the charges that the Jews brought. This was important because Rome had power over Palestine at this time, and Caesar was king. But the fact that Jesus was claiming to be king was an important thing. So if there were a legitimate charge against Jesus, then Pilate would have summarily executed Jesus for attempting to usurp Rome's power. That's why this was important. To try to become king when Rome had the king over Palestine would have been instant reason for execution. Jesus answered Pilate and confirmed that he was the King of the Jews. You notice Jesus didn't back down. But what kind of king was he? Look at what Jesus answered when he was challenged this in John's account in John chapter 18 verse 36. Together, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." You see, Jesus had no weapons. He had no army. He had no belligerent speech. He had no powerful friends who could help him or fund him. Nothing to show him as a threat, because his kingdom was not an earthly kingdom. So Pilate realized that Jesus was not guilty of anything wrong. In Luke's account, he even said it more bluntly. He said, "I find no fault in this man. I find no fault in this man." Now, seeing the obvious, the Jews then accused him of many things. They were like throwing everything at him, hoping that something would stick, because they realized the case was falling apart. And one of the greatest ironies here is that the Jews knew that Jesus' claim to be Christ meant that he was king. But they wanted him to be a king after their own imaginations, a king of earthly deliverance from Rome. That's why the week before, and it's one of the reasons I don't like Palm Sunday, because it was a picture of fake submission to Jesus Christ. It was fake. They wanted him to be an earthly king. And they were waving palm branches and saying, "Hosanna," or "God, save us." But they wanted salvation from Rome, not salvation from their sins. So instead of supporting him as king, they turned him over to the Romans, whom they hated, by the way, falsely accusing him of subversion to Rome. You see the hypocrisy of the people? They wanted to destroy Rome, so they accused Jesus, because he didn't fit their bill, of trying to subvert Rome. Because they knew that Rome would kill him, and then they could wait for somebody else to come to help them to subvert Rome. Look at some of the accusations. Luke chapter 23, verse 5. Together. But they were the more fierce, saying, "He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee to this place." So they wanted to destroy Rome, and they accused Jesus of trying to destroy Rome, because he wasn't doing the destruction of Rome like they wanted. If that confuses you, that's the kind of people these were. That's what they wanted to do. But with all the charges, Jesus remained silent. All their charges, Jesus remained silent. Then you think, wasn't he wrong to refuse to answer the judge when Pilate spoke to him? No, he wasn't. And there were two reasons why he was not wrong to remain silent. First of all, it was up to the court to prove guilt. This is an interesting thing to think about. No one was allowed or forced to testify against himself. God required this in order to stop the state from torturing people for confession. So you didn't have that. We say it's the law against self-incrimination. You didn't have to say anything. The government had to prove that you were guilty. But there's another, a more important reason that Jesus remained silent. You know, we say silent gives consent. Silence supports what the charge was. And that's exactly the case. Jesus was guilty with your sins. That's why he had to remain silent. He could have said, yeah, I'm guilty. And this was one way of saying that. And Pilate stood in amazement because he wondered why Jesus could be silent when he knew that Jesus was innocent. What lessons can we learn from this? Two things. One, you could not stand before God on account of your sins. This is why Jesus had to become sin for you. This is why he had to remain silent. He was the lamb going before the slaughter, as Isaiah said, and he kept silent. That's what the Ethiopian eunuch wanted to find out. Who was this who was going to the slaughter and didn't open his mouth? That was about Jesus. He was there quiet. He couldn't cry for justice, so you could cry out, Abba, Father. He had to take the Father's justice. Because he was declared guilty on earth, you will be declared not guilty in heaven. That's why Jesus had to stand before Pilate that way. He could be declared guilty, so you would be declared not guilty in heaven. The second lesson. Know that there will be many who will reject the Lord, even to the end of the world. They're the guilty ones, but they will believe they're innocent. You know, most people, a lot of people will say to you, you're just self-righteous. I'm good. I do the best I can and God will accept me. They think they are innocent. But only the Spirit working through the Word can set them free. You know what this means then? You have work to do. You have to bring the message of Jesus Christ so men and women, boys and girls can be set free. Those who think that they are fine, they still need the Word of God. They still need to know that Jesus Christ went before Pilate, innocent as he was, but guilty with your sins, and then died as that perfect sacrifice. Point number two, Pilate then attempted to release Jesus. He asserted that Jesus was innocent, and that was important for God's justice as well. And then he attempted to release Jesus. Now, Rome would release one criminal to show clemency every year around the time of the Jewish Passover. They usually release, according to history, someone who was innocently arrested or maybe a political prisoner. And the people would say, we want that person set free. Because they knew it was unfair and Rome would release that person. But this time, Pilate offered to release Barabbas. And that's why it's important to know the history, because that was not what they would normally do. They would get a political prisoner or somebody unjustly arrested. He now offers Barabbas, who was a convicted thief, and there are many other sins listed in other Gospels. He was a murderer. And for Rome, worse than a murderer, was an insurrectionist. Someone who was promoting rebellion against the state. So they had the choice between the convicted thief, murderer, and insurrectionist, and the innocent Jesus. You see what Pilate was doing there? Saying it was a way of trying to release Jesus. He's saying, look, you got this murderer, terrible person over here, and you got this one. I can't find anything wrong with him. It's like he was trying to get them to rethink what they were saying. He knew that the Jews were only faking their interest in Rome by saying, this man is trying to stir up trouble against the king and Rome. He saw through that. And that's why he wanted to see Jesus released. He offered the hardened criminal or the blameless Jesus with the hope that the Jews would choose the innocent Christ. He hoped they had consciences. And in fact, something you don't read about here, but it is in the other Gospels, one of the other Gospels, is that he scourged Jesus before this, hoping that that would satisfy them. Okay, he said, let's whip him some, and maybe that will satisfy you. Now, how about the choice? You have Barabbas, you have Jesus. At least you know he's gotten beaten. At the same time, his wife sent someone to him. His wife, the name of the wife was probably, according to history, Abrokla. Interesting name, I thought I'd mention that. But she sent a messenger to warn Pilate at the same time to be careful with Jesus based on a dream she had from God. Abrokla was probably a Jew, so she had some background in Jesus. And she didn't want her husband to be guilty of killing an innocent man, and a good innocent man at that. One who was known for feeding the starving, healing the sick, opening the eyes of the blind, raising the dead, teaching people to love God and to serve Him. And she said, don't do anything to this man. But given the choice, the Jewish leaders worked hard to convince the people then to choose Barabbas. Do you see the kind of leaders these people were? They had the choice between an innocent man who was speaking of love and trusting in God and the other man who was a murderer, an insurrectionist, and a thief. I'm sure they would have told the people about the fact that Jesus was examined the night before by the Sanhedrin and declared guilty, using that appeal to authority, even though the authority wasn't good. We know they knew that Barabbas was not good. But their hatred for Jesus was so great that it would let an awful man like Barabbas go free. And by the way, you know, when Barabbas went free, guess what he would do? A man like that would normally go back to his crime. And that would have made it worse for the nation of Israel if this man started to rebel against Rome again. But they would take that risk because of their hatred for Jesus Christ. Understand that, because that's the degree of hate that some people have for you. They might not show it. But given the opportunity to stamp you out from the face of the earth as Christian, they will do it. And you're seeing more and more of that in the world landscape today. But Pilate, he didn't give up. He wanted to, his attempt to release Jesus was pretty strong. He gave them that choice. But then in verse 22, he sort of wanted them to rethink again. He gave them another chance, like a loophole. He challenged them to rethink their actions. And they made their choice. After he said, well, what shall I do with Jesus? The Jews said they wanted Rome, whom they hated, to kill the Lord, whom they hated even more. They numbered Jesus with the wicked at his death. Remember that prophecy? And worse than, as if he were worse than a thief, well, whom did Jesus steal from? He always gave. An insurrectionist? By far, no. He was the one who says, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. As oppressive as the Roman government was, he submitted to the fact that they were the rulers. A murderer? No. He gave life. He told people, you shall not murder. You shouldn't even hate. And they treated Jesus as worse, fully guilty of death. And not only that, the Jews wanted the worst type of punishment that was possible, crucifixion. Crucifixion was extremely painful, causing the person to literally suffocate to death. You literally choke. And I don't know if you've experienced minor choking, but imagine feeling that pressure. And then just when you're about to lose consciousness, you're able to breathe a little bit, and then it starts all over again. You literally suffocate to death. And not only that, it was the most shameful way to die. You were stripped, exposed, and nailed to the cross. And people will pass by and see, and they will know that was one of the worst, most shameful way to die. What lessons can be learned from Pilate's attempt to release Jesus? First of all, an important lesson: don't rely on dreams for directions today. Abrokla was right to speak because they didn't have the whole Bible, and God speaking to her in a dream was understandable. But you have that perfect thing that 1 Corinthians 13 speaks of, to know what you are supposed to do. You have the full word of God. As those who have grown up, you must put away childish things. Dreams were proper in their time, but don't rely upon dreams. Go to the word of God if you want directions. Second, the Jews were bringing Jesus to be that perfect sacrifice for sins, for your sins and the sins of the whole world. We also see him coming willingly. They didn't know what they were doing, probably. If they read the scriptures, then maybe. They didn't even know that they were fulfilling what Isaiah wrote. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and he did not open his mouth. He came willingly. Praise God that he did. He couldn't be a reluctant sacrifice. Then God said, "Who will go?" He said, "Here I am, send me." Well, what would Pilate do? That is our third point. Pilate then abdicated his civil duty. The governor then tried to question the Jews about the reason for crucifying Jesus, because he had found none. Indeed, this was a fulfillment of the prophecy that Jesus would be without sin. Pilate was pleading for Jesus' life because he knew that Jesus was innocent. And this was his third attempt. You look at verse 23. He said, "Why? What evil has he done?" His third attempt to set Jesus free. The response of the Jews was not to provide evidence of Jesus' guilt, but to scream louder for his death. Do you see that? When Pilate says, "Well, what has he done?" they said, "Crucify him." "Well, what has he done?" "Crucify him." No charges, because the charge they first brought was proven to be useless. He was not guilty of it. Why did they do that? Why would they run the risk against Pilate that way? That's where history comes in. That supports the act of scriptures. You see, Pilate wanted to get out of Palestine. He hated it there. It's recorded in history how desperately he wanted to get out. So now Pilate has to do something to make sure that Caesar is pleased with him. By the way, he ran his dominion in Palestine, and he didn't want to antagonize Caesar, because Caesar would say, "Oh, you stay right there," instead of getting some better post. So what did Pilate do? We see in verse 24, he took water. When he realized he couldn't win against these people, and he didn't want to run the risk of them starting trouble or starting a rebellion of some kind, he took water and washed his hands. Literally, the Bible says he washed off his hands. It's like you're washing off the dirt that is on it, symbolizing that he was not responsible for Jesus' death. He acted as if water could wash away sins. In doing this, he abdicated his duty. He thought that by saying, "It's your business now," and that's what he said to them, "You see to it," that somehow it was no longer his business. A father can't say that, of course, and say, "Well, I don't have time for that, you do it." No, a father must fulfill his responsibility to his wife and to his children. He can't expect the church to take over that job. He can't expect his wife to take over that job. He must fulfill his job. No pastor can say that and decide, "Well, I don't like how things are. Maybe I'm tired and I just want to get a woman to do the sermon one Sunday." He may not do that because that's not proper. It's wrong. And so Pilate thought, "Well, I could try that." Washed his hands and said, "I'm not responsible." But in doing this, Pilate condemned the one who was acquitted, the one he knew to be guilty. He turned him over to be executed. We find in verse 25, though, is one of the most striking things in this passage. The Jews then call the guilt of Jesus' murder on their children. Jesus was going to shed his blood as a gift for sinners so they would be forgiven. But these people wanted God to punish their children for that crime. And here's the saddest thing of all of this. God obliged them. When Titus laid siege in Jerusalem, he crucified 500 Jews every day till he ran out of places to crucify them and wood to make crosses to crucify them. These were the children of the people who stood up and said, "Let his blood be upon us." And God said, "Okay. Okay." See, what you do affects your children, doesn't it? Their blood flowed everywhere when Jerusalem was destroyed. Thousands were killed and their bodies dumped into the Sea of Galilee to the point where the lake looked like it was red. Thousands chose to kill themselves rather than face the horrible suffering on the Rome. Thousands starved to death. In fact, a total of 1 million Jews were killed, according to Josephus, in the Roman siege of Jerusalem. By the way, do you see why Israel has never been able to become strong again? They wanted a curse upon their children, and Christ gave it to them. And this is why it's foolish to try to make Israel into a strong nation again. People who are telling you to send money for the Jewish government don't understand what God has said in His Word. And that's why for 2,000 years the Jews have been a persecuted people. And we have that sympathy here because we see human suffering and we don't want that to happen, and that's okay. But you understand God's judgment upon a people who turn their backs on their only hope of salvation. Jonah talked about that. He says, "You forfeit the only grace that could be yours. You ignore God." This is what God threatened in Deuteronomy, and this is what we see fulfilled. Then what happened next? Pilate released Barabbas. Pilate then showed his complicity. And look at what he did. He tortured Jesus before executing him on the cross. The Roman beast and the Jewish scarlet harlot did not simply kill him, they tortured him first. Pilate could have simply beheaded him, which was relatively painless. But he ordered the Lord to be tortured before execution. Pilate wanted the people to love him, so he killed Jesus. That's why he killed Jesus. The Jews wanted to kill Jesus because they were losing their influence. None of them could hide from the blame. Throughout history, they pushed the blame from one side to the other. But both were responsible for the death of Jesus. But it was sad to see Pilate had no interest in Jesus when he found that Jesus had no supporters in the crowd. Maybe if Jesus had a large part of supporters, he might have said, well, I'll pick a side. But there was nobody to help him politically. So he let the innocent one die and condemned him to death. Pilate knew that Jesus was turned over to him because of envy of the Jews. And this made his sin worse. He knew these people were setting Jesus up. He knew there was no evidence against him, and yet he turned him over to die. And before he was crucified, Jesus was stripped naked. This is the nature of his torture. He was chained to a pillar and severely whipped across his bare back. The whips had hooks that tore into his flesh. And so his back became furrows, as the prophecy of the Old Testament was. Literally, because of the cutting of the flesh, furrows were created on his back. The people hit the God of glory. And with blood running down his face and his back soaked with blood, they led him to the cross to kill him, according to Mark 14. Then the Roman soldiers called for more soldiers to mock Jesus. They fake saluted Jesus, insulting him and not honoring him. They even spat upon him. What can we learn from this? First of all, God may oblige when people ask him to damn their children. You get that? You hear some people talk to their children? That God would damn their children? Or even spiritually starve your children to death from lack of instruction and discipline. If you do that, God will let them die. If you don't teach your children the Word of God, should you be surprised if they walk away from the Lord and march to hell? These people prayed for curses to come upon their children, and God said, so be it. Be careful how you deal with your children. Second, the bound Lord pictured the perfect sacrifice prepared for the altar. This pictured you, bound in sin and slavery. You remember that picture of chains? And you were in him. It was as if you were tied. He took full responsibility for you. This is what you deserved. Jesus went to be that sacrifice. The criminal went free. But Jesus took your place. There's a third lesson here. He took the crown of thorns on his head. He took the crown of thorns. Why was that important? Well, look at what happened in Genesis. Adam was cursed with thorns, and Jesus took them all. Remember what God said? Thorns and thistles you will face. And Jesus took those crown of thorns on his head. As if it's saying, it's right before me. I'll take away the hardships of your life. The scourging was a matter of divine justice. Let's conclude. Pilate asserted the innocence of Jesus in three ways. Through his examination, through the lack of evidence against Jesus, and the testimony of his wife. And then on three occasions, he tried to release Jesus. He tried to release Jesus. But because he loved his power, he handed over the innocent Jesus to be tortured and crucified. Yet these Jewish and Roman rulers were doing exactly what God decreed. They were preparing the Lamb of God to die for the sins of the world. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, a few things before we conclude here. One, Jesus loved you. He loved you as a wretched sinner heading for hell so much that he took your guilt, suffering as the just for the unjust. None else could do that. None else would do that for you. Doesn't this bring you to tears? It should. When you really think about this, who you were, who he was, and what he endured so you could live, this is what brings you to tears. It should. It should make you soft on the inside. You know, somebody helps you if you have a great need. You appreciate that and you say, well, I really am thankful for what you've done for me. And maybe you say, I don't know why you're so kind to me, and you feel emotional. And that's okay. Well, how do you respond to the one who gave his life, the one who came from heaven, gave his life to save a sinner such as you? But more than just the tears, doesn't this make you want to serve him better with more zeal? Doesn't this want to know him better? Don't you want to know why would you do this? How is it now that I can serve you? Look at what you've done for me. I want to do everything I can. I want to tell the world about Jesus. I want to worship you, but I want to know how to do that. See, the cross, the work of Jesus, makes us want to know everything so we can serve him better. And finally, I urge you to call on God, if you are not a Christian, to accept the sacrifice of Jesus, that true and perfect Lamb of God, that you, though guilty, might receive eternal life starting now. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for your words and the import. For we know the cross marks history. There would be no good human history without the cross of Jesus Christ. We'd all live as wicked men and women and march to hell. But Jesus endured suffering, as we have seen, through the trial, proved to be innocent, and then became the sacrifice for us. May we then live as those who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We pray in Jesus' name.